Welcome you this morning to services of Redeemer Bible Church. Glad to see the faces of everyone here, the members, regular attenders, visitors. Also glad to tell you that we had a very excellent men's breakfast yesterday. Those breakfasts last until about 9:20 or 9:30. So if you're a man and you're being a little bit reluctant to come to those, thinking that your whole Saturday morning is going to be taken up, not so. It starts at 8. Bring your, and there'll be another one, first Saturday of December, so that we'll be announcing more of that later on. This coming Tuesday, WOW, which I believe it's Women of Worth, could be Women of the Word. It's a great time. It kicks off actually officially at 9:30 every Tuesday, so until later on in the month, I suppose, or early in December. I'm not sure when that ramps down, but this Tuesday, Catherine Martin will again be opening up the book of Judges. It's an excellent study. Come a little bit early, though. That 9:30 time is when she likes to get started and include all the women there that are on Zoom. She has quite a number of people that are outside the city of Dallas, outside the state of Texas, all across the United States. So she likes to get started then. So for conversation and fellowship, please come a bit early so you can be ready. This coming Thursday, again, our Hope Dallas initiative meets in the Oasis. They'll be hosting 35 or so Hill School young students. They've been doing that for some time now, reaching the hearts for the Lord. They need, though, not only the water of life, they need the water that just quenches the thirst. So that's a continuing need. Please feel free to bring bottled water. You can get with her and tell her that she'll bring some, and she'll actually tell you how to deliver it or where to put it and that sort of thing. This morning, I have understanding that it may be that Vladimir Pickman, one of our missionaries, who's in Berlin, or the Berlin, Germany, missionary there, or may be in the audience. Vladimir, are you in the audience today? Okay, guess not. But certainly, he may be here quite often in the next couple of months. He comes back from Germany here to DTS, and he's, again, working with students and with faculty there to firm up the program he's gotten started there. You may want to check at the very back when you leave. If you haven't already, go by the desk there. Rick Parsley is taking any corrections or any new additions to the directory. I understand that there's about 109 in that directory now. That's going to be an online directory. It's a real neat app. I have it on the iPhone. I assume it's also available on the other kind as well. And so it's really come in handy quite a bit already, because I'm terrible with names. And I know yesterday morning at the men's prayer breakfast, I cheated a little bit. I pulled out my app, and I looked at faces, and I looked at names, and it kind of helped me out a little bit. So it's something that's very helpful. Also, I understand that White Rock Center of Hope is needing some help with food. They like to receive, apparently the big item there in need is mac and cheese. That can be arranged to come to the church office. You would call or get with someone there that works there and see that they get your donation of that. I like to quote a scripture quite a bit to myself, and I think it's a good one to start with our service with. The scripture is Romans 8:28. all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. So with that, let's say our prayer. Our Lord, we thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus. He told us before he left somewhere in his ministry that where two or more are gathered in his name, he will be in the midst of them. Midst is a term, Lord. You know that's locality. And so we are definitely here today. Two or more gathered in your name. And Lord, we just thank you that you're in our midst. We ask you, Lord, to direct our singers, direct our congregational singing, direct those that are praying. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to sing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 108, Come Christians Join to Sing. Come Christians Join to Sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia. God is great. He sing his praises because he is the God of angel armies, and we have nothing to fear. Whom shall I fear? You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? Against the enemy, underneath my feet, you are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Please remain standing for the scripture.
I'm reading today from Psalm 119, verse 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. I'm greatly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept the freewill offerings of my praise, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a trap for me, yet I do not depart from your precepts. Your testimonies are my inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes always, even unto the end. Maybe seated.
As Pastor Forrest has been talking, doing sermons on the book of Proverbs, God is our ultimate guide. And he uses books like Proverbs to help us learn how to live in the current world. So I invite you to just lift your voices as we sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to
And as God guides us through each day, we know that on a beautiful day, even with a time change, his mercies are new every morning. Sing, I will sing of his mercies.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Well, good morning. 1.9 billion dollars. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Powerball lottery. 1.9 billion dollars. Now, that is the biggest Powerball ever. Like ever. There's like, you know, second place was way back there. Biggest. And you know what I think is so weird about that? Because it wasn't that long ago, we were watching the news and all these people were going on the news saying, I don't have enough money to buy food for my kids and I can't put diapers. Everybody's complaining about not having money. You know, gas prices are super crazy high. Not quite so bad now, but they've been crazy high. Inflation is through the roof. You go to the grocery store and you're like, I paid what? You know, everything is up. But somehow, people are finding money to play the lottery. Lots of people. I mean, just a little bit of, I can't even do the math because it's too hard because it changed last night. But that's a lot of tickets that people are buying. And I think what it teaches us about human nature and what it teaches us about ourselves is that we're often willing to put aside, to give up the things that are important for financial security. We're often willing to give up something that we probably need or really should spend money on. We're willing to give that up for the hope of financial security, financial comfort. And oftentimes, if you played the lottery this week, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm not. You didn't win. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to shame you for playing the lottery. That's not really what this is about. But it's about the nature of who we are as people. As people, we like the concept of thinking forward to a time where we don't have financial worries. We're drawn to that. And this morning, what I want to ask you to think about in your own life is, what are you willing to give up for financial security? What are you willing to part with? Maybe you didn't play the lottery this week, and if you didn't, that's fine. That's not really the point. But when you look at your own life, what are you willing to give up to have financial peace, to have financial security? Are you willing to give up some of the things that you need in other areas of your life to have that? Are you willing to make some changes in how things are going in your life to have that? Are you willing to set aside maybe some of your integrity to have financial security in the future? What are you willing to give up? What are you tempted to give up? What are you enticed to give up in order to have that financial peace? This morning, what I want to talk to you about is greed. And I want to pose the question, what really is greed? And oftentimes when we think of greed, we think of greed as like the person at the table who's just like both using both fists and just shoveling food into their mouth. It's this insatiable desire for more. Or people who are just stuffing money into their pockets, and their pockets are full and they're overflowing and they just keep stuffing stuff in there. And that's kind of what we associate with the concept of greed. But I want to suggest to you this morning that greed is actually more sinister than that. Greed is not lack of control. Greed has a destructive element to it, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. What really is greed? And this morning we're returning in our series on the book of Proverbs, and so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs. And The very first part of Proverbs is likely written by Solomon to his biological children, and Solomon is writing to them and giving them advice about living. And we're still in chapter 1, so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1. And this section, Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 19, Solomon talks to his children about greed. And what he does is he's warning them, as any father would, he warns them about the problem with greed, but along the way he unpacks why greed is so bad, why it's so destructive. And that's going to be insightful for us as we then begin to look at greed, and we're going to have a little bit of an understanding of what really is the nature of greed. We're going to learn this morning that greed is a rush, it's a ruse, and it's a robbery. And at the end, I'm going to have a challenge for you, and the challenge is going to seem a little disconnected now that I'm telling you what it is, but as we go along, you'll see where I'm going, and you'll see why it's connected. But the challenge that I'm going to put forth to you is I'm going to challenge you to support Redeemer at 11% of your income. You're like, Pastor Forrest, those two don't seem connected. I know, they will. Just hang tight with me. The first part here of Proverbs that Solomon writes, he explains a situation, a scenario for his kids. So look with me at verses 10 to 14. And Solomon kind of sets up a scenario. He says, okay, guys, children, I want you to think about this scenario. Think about this dynamic. Think about being in this situation. He says, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Now they may say, come and join us. Let's hide and let's kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we will get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. And so as Solomon tells this story, he's talking about his children being surrounded by people that maybe their peers or similar age and saying, hey, we've got this plan. Let's go out and let's kill someone. Let's murder them. Let's take all of their stuff. And the incentive is, listen, we will fill our houses with the stuff that they had and we'll steal it from them. That's the motivation. That's what he's trying to get them to do. And so Solomon tells this story to his kids because he's trying to tell them, if you're in this situation, if this dynamic happens to you, let me tell you what's really going on. And so he explains in verses 15 to 19 what's really going on in the situation. And the first thing we learned is that greed is a rush. Greed is a rush. Verse 15 says this, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. Verse 16, they rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. My child, don't go along with them. They have a plan. They're trying to get you to be involved in this plan with them. Don't go along with them. As a matter of fact, choose a different path. And what I'm going to suggest to you here this morning is a different path. But Solomon is telling his kids, don't go along with them. Choose a different path because they rush to commit evil deeds. They rush. Literally what it says is their feet run to evil. They're not just like in a hurry. They're running towards evil. They hurry to commit murder. So Solomon is pointing out to his kids, listen, these guys, they have a plan. And you'll notice about their plan, they're in a rush to do it. And it's very true that greed is a rush. It has to be. Most sin has a dynamic of hurry to it. And greed also is the same way. It has to have a dynamic of hurry to it, because if it didn't have a dynamic to hurry in it, if we just stopped and we slowed down and we thought about things, we're like, this doesn't make any sense. If you haven't done the math, there are many people who have, and I'm just telling you, The playing the lottery does not make statistical, logical sense. It doesn't. If you sit there and you have $2 in your hand and you look at the stats, it doesn't make sense. Here's why. Your chance is 1 in 292 million that you will pick the right numbers. Statistically speaking, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. If you sat down and you calculated it out, there's no chance that you're going to be able to do it. It's such an infinitesimally small spot. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense logically to do it. But tons of people are doing it. Why? Because it's $1.9 million and you'll never see those numbers again. This is a very important time right now. You got to hurry out and go out and buy your ticket right now. Right? There has to be a rush. And greed has an element of rush to it. It does. Like most sins, greed has an element of rush to it. Because if we stopped and we actually thought about things, we wouldn't do it. It doesn't make sense. Greed is a rush. The first part of this proverb, or the first part of this section says, stay far away from their path. So I'm going to challenge you with I'm going to give you a challenger this morning it's going to cause you to get far away from that path. And that challenge is this. I'm going to challenge you to set up a reoccurring support for Redeemer. If you are an intender or if you're a member here at Redeemer, I'm going to challenge you to set up on your phone or on your computer a reoccurring giving of support to Redeemer. Not a big rush, not a dramatic, you got to do this right now, none of that. Just set up a very calculated plan about a giving to Redeemer. And here's why that is such an important aspect, is because in order for you to sit down and look at your finances and determine how you could support Redeemer, you have to make some plans. You have to do a very logical progression, looking through your bills, looking through how much money you make, and how could you give to support Redeemer? Very calm, very subdued, not this big rush. Greed has a rush. And I'm trying to tell you, don't take that path. It's not about taking the path on the lottery. It's about taking that path in greed, being greedy for money. Don't take that path. Instead, sit down and figure out, how can I give my money, how can I support Redeemer on a regular basis? So the first thing is that greed is a rush. Second thing is that greed is a ruse. A ruse is a lie. It's a deception. It's a trap. Look with me at verse 17 and 18. It says, if a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. Now, these people, they set an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed. Verse 17 says, if a bird sees a trap being set, and the picture is if you're looking at a tree and you see a bird up in the tree and he looks out and he sees a person setting a trap for them, even a bird is smart enough to know, don't go through the trap. But not so these people. Verse 18, it says, but these people that are trying to coerce Solomon's kids to get involved with their plan, these people, they set an ambush for themselves. So birds are smart. Birds see a trap being set. They don't go there. These people are foolish. They not only set the trap and they see themselves setting the trap, they go into the trap. And his point here is that these people they're foolish. They're foolish. They're making a foolish decision. They're setting the trap for themselves. And the end result of this in verse 18 is they are trying to get themselves killed by setting up and murdering someone, by setting up the scenario to steal the goods that the other person have, by setting themselves up and doing that, they are going to get themselves killed. And Solomon's point here to his kids is like, guys, this doesn't make any sense. Don't do this. It's not logical. greed is a ruse. But the truth is that greed is deceptive. It really is deceptive. We often don't think about that, because when we think of greed, it's like, hey, well, they probably shouldn't be that way, but they're getting something out of it. But it's not really how it is. Greed is a ruse. The deception is that if you are greedy, that your life will be better. That's not really true. If you look at it, and there's tons of things out there about people who have won the lottery. And before they win the lottery, there is this thing that if you win the lottery, your life will be better. Everything will be better. You'll have no more needs. All of your needs will be taken care of. You'll have no more worries, and you'll have no more problems. But the reality is that people, even people who have won a lot of money in the lottery, they still have needs. Now, some of their needs are met with money, but not everything that a person needs is related to money. Needs for love, needs for acceptance, needs for health, all those things are not necessarily tied to money. And people who win the lottery, who hit it big, even people that are pursuing money and they actually get that money, they realize, well, I thought this was going to take care of all of my needs, but it actually doesn't. They're billed on this. They're sold on this idea that they'll not have any more worries. But the reality is that when you have a lot of money, you worry that you're going to lose it. A poor man doesn't care. But the rich man, he has worries. So it's not true that you have no more worries, and it's not true that you don't have any more problems. There was a podcast or a YouTube channel, a guy who had won the lottery, and then he went around and interviewed other people who had won the lottery. And he said his conclusion was, is if people have problems before and then they win the lottery, their problems just get bigger. They don't go away. If the person has a personality problem, or if they have a mental problem or whatever, what are those problems? They're just magnified. Winning the lottery, gaining money, doesn't make you problemless. In reality, what happens is your problems just get bigger. But that's not the message that greed sends. Greed says, hey, if you get more money, if you can finally grab some more money, then all of your problems, all of your worries, all of your needs will be taken care of. But it's a deception. It's a ruse. It's a trap. Beginning of this section, it said, stay away from their path. And so I'm going to challenge you with a path. And here's the path I'm challenging you with. Support Redeemer with all of the money you take in. Support Redeemer with all of the money you take in. Not just the money that you make from your employment or your Social Security, your retirement. With all of the money that you take in, including your stimulus check, your tax return. We're going to talk about it a little bit, why that's so important. But a part of it has to do with the fact is that we often think that our money is our money. And the reality is that if you want to insulate yourself from greed, you got to realize that all of that money is actually not our money. That's God's money. He's given us an opportunity to be a steward of that. But it's not our money. Support Redeemer with all of God's money. Greed is not only is greed a rush and a ruse, but greed is a robbery. Greed is a robbery. Greed holds you up and it says to you, give me something of value. Like, again, we have this image in our head that greed just gives you things, but that's not how it works. Greed is like a robber. It comes to you and says, hey, give me something valuable. And the beautiful thing about greed is what we do in response to being held up is we give it everything. Like, we don't just give it, oh, I've got money in this other pocket. Let me give it to you that too. And in my back pocket, greed causes us to give up way more than we should. And that's the nature of greed. Look with me at verse 19. It says, such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Such is the fate, or this is the path, or this is the road of all who are greedy for money, who have this insatiable desire for more money. It robs them of life. It takes away life. Greed is not something that, if we allow it to have a reign in our life, it's not something that we can be neutral about. It comes in and it steals from us life. The Powerball companies, they don't tell you about that, that when you win the lottery, your life completely changes. They don't tell you that. You can't live in your house anymore. You can't. You know, you hire a security company to keep you safe from all the would-be robbers that want to come and steal all of the money you just won. And they're going to tell you, move out of that house. You can't live there anymore. Everybody knows where you live. All the bad guys know where you live. You can't live there. You have to go to a new place. And greed, if we get to the point where we get money and we get that, once we get that, it comes into us and now we have to change. We can't be where we were. Our life has to change. Our friends have to change. Many times what happens when people win the lottery, they have to get new friends. Because all of their friends that used to love them and think they were great, now they all want money. So every conversation is about how they can get money from them. Every time they text them, every time they phone call, every time they get a letter in the mail, it's people just wanting more of their money. And the people who are just like, I just got to get new friends because this isn't working. Many of them become estranged from their family. They have to. Because when they get together for Christmas, they don't sit around and drink hot cocoa and sit around the fireplace and drink hot cocoa and talk about what it was like to be kids. They don't talk about that anymore. All the family members are trying to get into a conversation with, like, how do I get some of that money? But they don't talk about that. The companies, the lottery companies, they don't talk about that. That when you get this, everything is going to be different. You have to. And the reality is that greed is one of those things that causes us to get robbed of something that's very, very valuable. Oftentimes, the worst thing that we lose is our intimacy with God. Because greed and an intimacy with God, they can't reside in the same place. Stay far away from that path of greed. And the way to do that is this: support Redeemer with 11%. You've probably heard the thing, I've mentioned it a number of times, that traditionally America is set up on the concept that American churches are built to run on the people, the attenders, and the members giving 10% of their income, and that's how a church survives. And so what I'm challenging you to do, don't do 10%, do 11%. And the reason I'm challenging you to do 11% instead of 10%, I'm pushing you to the next level, and the reason that I'm doing that is because you've got to do something different to insulate yourself from greed. You can't just do what everybody else is doing. You've got to do something different. You've got to do something different, unique, and bigger. So 11%. What really is greed? Greed is a rush, it's a ruse, and it's a robbery. It's not what it appears. And oftentimes on the outside, it seems very benign, it seems very not a big deal. But it's very deceptive. Greed can be very damaging. So my challenge to you this morning has been to support Redeemer at 11%. Support Redeemer at 11%. And you don't know this about me, and you've not heard me tell you this story, but when I was in high school, my parents moved from a town to a different town. There was better schools in this town. And so we moved out of a neighborhood, and we moved to this town. And this town happened to be a town that was on Lake St. Clair. It was a lakeside community. And you know what that means, right? Most of the people in town had a lot of money, especially the people that lived on the lake. Now, we didn't have a lot of money, so we moved all the way to the corner of the community in a trailer park. So I grew up as a high schooler in a trailer park, rode the bus my first year with a bunch of other trailer park kids. And I went to high school with a bunch of kids who didn't live in the trailer park. They drove very nice cars to school. They lived in very nice houses, and they wore very nice clothes. And I was a high schooler. It was a difficult time. And it was difficult for me to see that I wasn't getting what they wanted. And so I wanted to be financially secure. I was enticed to that lifestyle. Couldn't get to it, but I wanted it. And I will probably struggle for the rest of my life with that dynamic. Many of you are probably in the same spot, where you grew up in a situation where you didn't have, and you knew a bunch of other people that did, and you're like, man, I just wish I could have that. There is an enticement involved in that, and that enticement will lead to greed, and that greed will take away your life. It will. And so what I've done, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm just telling you what I've done, is I know this is a struggle, I know this is a weakness, so I've said, okay, this is what we are going to do as a family. We regularly support Redeemer, regularly. And we regularly support Redeemer with all of the money that comes in, not just what we get from paychecks, but from everything. A couple of weeks ago, the WOW group sent me a gift for being their awesome pastor, and it was awesome, and they sent me a gift. I gave part of it to the church. I do it with everything that I get. And I do it at 11%. And the reason that I do those three things is because I understand that greed could destroy my relationship with God. And I won't have any of it. So I set up a different path for myself. I don't tell you about how much I give or what my percentage is or what I give. I'm not telling you that to make you think that I'm a great person. I'm telling you that I intentionally put that in place in my life to prevent me from doing something that I shouldn't do. To prevent me from getting into a situation where greed becomes the thing that I become focused on, and then it pushes out my relationship with God. So in your bulletin, what I've done is I've given you those four things, and I want to challenge you to think about those. I want you to think about each of those four things that I've talked about here, those challenges that I've given you, and I want you to just if you can, just think of that as I'm not trying to do that because I'm trying to highlight any particular thing. I'm trying to give you tools to insulate yourself from the enticement to be greedy for money. Please don't take away from this sermon that Redeemer is in financial trouble and Pastor Fortis is talking about giving on Sunday morning because there's nothing to do with this. There's nothing to do with this. I'm trying to give you tools to insulate yourself from the enticement to be greedy for money. That is because that enticement to be greedy will dislodge intimacy with God. And you, each of you, having an intimate relationship with God is something that this church is very committed to doing. We want every single one of you to have an intimate relationship with God. That's our hope. That's our plan. That's what we want to see happen. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, maybe you had one in the past or you don't have it now, or maybe you've never had it, I just wanted to let you know, I'm going to be up front here after the service and I would love to talk to you. Or maybe you're a person who's here this morning and you have had an intimate relationship with God, but greed has worked its way into your life and you've become trapped by it, and now you are in a position in your life where the intimacy with God has gotten pushed out because all you think about is money and getting more. If you're in that spot, come see me after the service. I would love to talk to you. But for the many of you who are here this morning and you have an intimate relationship with God, what we're going to do now is we're going to celebrate our time of communion. And what we do with communion is an opportunity for us who are believers, who have an intimate relationship with God, to celebrate the opportunity that we have to have an intimate relationship with God that was not possible before but is possible now. And that is only possible because of what Christ did on the cross for us. And so as we take communion, what we're doing is we're celebrating the gift that God has given us through Christ so that we could have that intimate relationship with him. So if you are a believer and you were here this morning, you are welcome to join us. This is, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to necessarily be a member of this church or a member of any other church for that matter. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are welcome to take communion with us this morning. If you are not a believer, we just ask you that you would just let this time pass. So if you need a communion cup, just raise your hand, and the guys that have them in the back will hand those out to you. And each of these cups has a little bit of there's a top part that has a wafer in it, and then there's a bottom part that has juice in it. Anybody need one? Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand, and the guys are running away from me. Now my hand's down. Okay. This is a powerful time for us to think about what Christ has done for us and to be reminded of that dynamic of what Christ did for us. And if you lift off the top part, you can reveal the wafer. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he quoted what Jesus told him. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. To do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he concluded with this, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
As we think about Solomon telling his children to choose a different path, he's given them words of life, words that they should live by. I invite you to stand and sing as we sing "Wonderful Words of Life."
Just a reminder, if you have any needs that you want to talk to somebody about, I'll be up front here after the service. I'll stay as long as I need to. If you want to talk to somebody about having an intimate relationship with God, or if you are caught in the trap of greed, please come up front and see me, and I'll be more than happy to help you with that. Vladimir is here. Vladimir, it's wonderful to see you. If you know Vladimir, if you'd like to meet him, feel free to see him after the service. He made a special trip up here because he wanted to see as many of you as he could after the service. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." See you next week.